who came. Love has come. What a wonderful and beautiful representation that he brought light into the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and now, as we're going to talk about this morning, he calls us to be light on behalf of him. Before we blow our candles out, let's enjoy the light a little longer. I want to point out some of the prayers of this week. Maybe you noticed as you walked in the green and the red prayer chain that's on the stairs. I'd invite you to come and see it after church and read some of the prayer requests of young and old. This is from Advent Outside on Wednesday, and we had a prayer station and we had a candle station to light a candle for a loved one who has gone on before us, someone that we love and miss. And we lit a candle in their memory. And some people wrote memories of their loved ones. Some wrote prayer requests. And we prayed for God's comfort and peace to come into our lives and cover us. And then this morning, many of us wrote words of encouragement, words of prayer to people in this room. And maybe you wrote something that you're going to mail to someone. We had some of our children up here writing prayers. It's just a sign to me that there is hope, that there is light, and we are God's people, and we are meant to be love and light to the world. Join me in this Advent prayer. God of justice and peace, from the heavens you rain down mercy and kindness, that all on earth may stand in awe and wonder before your marvelous deeds. Almighty God, raise our heads in anticipation that we may yearn for the coming of the Lord, the day that he will come again in glory and might. May we stand without blame before your Son, Jesus Christ, when he comes again. And we proclaim today that he will reign and rule forever and ever. But, oh God, as we wait, would you make your light to shine in us and through us? May we be your light. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and together we say, Amen. Would you please blow out your candle for now? Not representation of what we want to do, but in the name of safety, we blow out the candle. Well, I want us to reflect on the song that was played for us during Prayers of the People. Mary, Did You Know? Many of you have heard this song, you know this song. The pentatonic version that we heard this morning is fairly well known. I want you to think about the words in one of the verses. It says, this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Can we even begin to imagine the emotions that Mary might have had as she held Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in her arms? Did she, in fact, have any idea at all who Jesus was, and that he wouldn't just be her deliverer, but he would be the savior of the world? Did she know? Well, she may not have understood all the implications, but if you know the story, if you know the narrative in the Gospels, God's angel did come to her and explain to her who Jesus was and what she would be doing carrying the Messiah in her womb. In Luke chapter 1, Mary's song of joy and conviction reveals to us that she did, in fact, see Jesus in light of a bigger story. And so I want us to pay close attention again to Mary's exuberant words and how they connect to God's work in redemptive history. If you have your Bible or Bible app, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Now, I want us to listen closely to some of the words of Mary's song again. God has shown strength in his arm. God has scattered the proud. He scattered the proud. And God has brought down the pride of the powerful. He's brought them down from their thrones. But you see, God has lifted up the humble. And God has filled the hungry with what? With good things. And so what is the tone of Mary's words here? As the song progresses, what do you notice? How is her understanding of God and what God has done throughout redemptive history? Is she knowledgeable? Does she know God? This woman of defiant doxology, this first century woman who breaks through the silence imposed upon most women of her time, would from my chair be best represented as a person of courageous faith. And so if we're listening to her song, are you listening this morning? Maybe we can hear her say yes. She says yes to God's will and calling upon her life. She says yes to literally carrying the Son of God in her womb. But here's the part that oftentimes goes forgotten, maybe ignored, or dismissed. In saying yes to God, Mary also said no to the ungodliness in our world. She says yes to standing against the things that are ungodly, that are unholy in this world. Mary says yes to awakening the indifference of the wealthy. And Mary says no to the powerful who take advantage of the weak and the marginalized. But what does Mary see in her song? She sees the plight of the poor. And she recognizes and she wants to be with those who are suffering and hurting, those who are hungry specifically. She wants their tummies to be filled. And so she stands with those who are marginalized, who are hurting, who are suffering in some way, and she says no. She says no to the pride of the powerful and to those who are in strong positions taking advantage of the weak. And so are these bold words of Mary? Have you ever thought about this? Are these bold words of Mary, are they original to her? Or perhaps are they the next verse in an ancient song that's been sung before? I believe it's entirely possible that young Jewish women like Mary had read, studied, and even been inspired by faith stories of women such as Sarah or Hannah in Old Testament scripture. And I point out Sarah and Hannah here specifically because they too had experienced God in this supernatural way through the avenue of bearing a child in almost humanly impossible circumstances. Interestingly, Hannah's story found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, it finds its climax in a prayer, in a song of praise. I want you to listen closely to how that song begins in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here's what Hannah wrote in her song. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it's very similar, right, to the way that Mary's song opens in Luke 1, verses 46 through 48. But perhaps the two verses that stand out the most to me as we compare and contrast Hannah's song to Mary's song are 1 Samuel 2, verses 4 and 5. Listen to these. She writes, the bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire for themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. Think about these verses as we pay attention one more time to Mary's song. God has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. And so Mary's defiant doxology, it highlights the downfall of the proud. Those in powerful positions who have a perception that they are better than or rule over other people. But Mary's song connects with and recognizes and sees the plight of the poor and those who are hungry or hurting or suffering in some way. And so what's my point in all of this for us? If we're paying attention to the story of Scripture, Mary's song is not something that she wrote from scratch. She didn't just randomly come up with these words about rulers being brought down and the self-reliant wealthy being sent away empty. No, Mary's song, Mary's story is connected to a bigger story. And that story has not changed. Our God has always been and always will be a God of compassion and mercy and love and justice. God has always loved and been mindful of the poor and their plight, those who are hungry and thirsty, those who are abandoned, those who are abused, those who are suffering and addicted, and those who are hurting and lost and need to find their way, those who are lonely and depressed. God cares about these people. He's deeply moved. He's deeply pursuing. He's never letting go of these people. This is who our God is. And Mary's song just exudes a message of joyful justice and unending love because our sovereign God often works in mysterious and unforeseen ways to bring about his will. Mary's song is actually a song that echoes throughout Scripture. And Hannah's song is just the beginning. We hear her voice singing praises to God for the birth of her son Samuel. But we also sing these words together often out of Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for all men. For God satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. If we're paying attention, we hear Mary's song echoing throughout Scripture in the voice of the prophets. For example, in Isaiah 40, verse 10, the prophet declares, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him." So, church, listen to me. When Mary said yes to God, she also said no to the ungodly, unholy things of our world. And she chooses to echo with her ancestors of old the song that screams out, "We will no longer ignore those who are hurting. We will not ignore the plight of the poor and the hungry." She says yes to God, and she says no to many things as well. What about you and me? What about you and me? I'm afraid that oftentimes we get caught sitting in silence. Now, stick with me here, because some of this is going to be hard to hear, but soak it in and reflect on it. Think about it. Oftentimes we get caught watching. We get caught observing. Things like broken systems. Systems that take advantage of people. We get caught observing hate and discord. We get caught watching abuse, abandonment of children, deceit, and lies. We get caught watching, and we choose to do nothing. And maybe not you, but I know from time to time, this is me. I get caught watching. I get caught observing another unarmed black man being shot. And we read about it, and we watch it, and we do nothing. Another child or neighborhood of children being neglected, left alone with no friendships, no guidance, and we read about it, and we watch it, and we do nothing. Another story of a hate group mistreating people. Another story of immigrants seeking asylum being mistreated. Another story of Christians on the other side of the world being persecuted. And we read about it and we watch it. And we oftentimes turn a blind eye to it, or we get caught with our arms crossed going, "I don't know." Right? Church, listen. Mary's song is the screech of God's tires waking us up. It's God shouting from heaven. It's time for my people to do things of substance, to get down to the godly business of doing important things, things of godliness. Things of righteousness and truth and love and justice. Matters of building relationships with the poor and the marginalized and those who are suffering and hurting for whatever reason. To get down on their level and to see them, to look at them and say, "I see you. And I'm with you in this. I can't fix it all. I can't step in and make it all go away, but I'm here with you in this." And I sense and I feel that that is the heart of Mary's song, that it's not just praises to the King for the blessing of carrying the Son of God, but also saying no to all of these things in our world. And it's not just her song, right? It's a song that echoes throughout Scripture. Also, if we're paying attention, Mary's song is a song of kind of reversals. This defiant doxology talks about how the high will be brought low, how the lowly will be raised high, how the rich will be made poor, and how the poor will be made rich. And so, like Mary, when we say yes to God, we also say no to the ungodliness and the unholiness in our world, and we do what we can to step into these places, to stand against these things, but to stand with these people who are hurting, who are suffering, who are marginalized, who need community, who need God. So this is Mary's song of praise. This is Mary's song of conviction to live for God. And as we close the message time this morning, let me ask us, what's our song? Your life is a song. Did you know that? Casting Crowns wrote a song about this, that our life is a song that sings praise to God or not. And by our life's choices, we write verses to that song. And for some of us, we have yet to say yes to God, like Mary said yes to God for his will in her life. And if that's you today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never said yes to God, is there a better way to start a new year? I mean, really. Is there a better way to start a new year than for you to stand with Mary, to stand with all the saints of past, present, and future and say yes to God? Don't wait. Don't put it off. Let's start the new year with God, saying yes to his grace and the gift of redemption that he gives to us through Jesus. But for those of us who have said yes to God, no matter how long it's been, maybe you've been a Christian for 50 years, 40 years, or 2 weeks, when you say yes to God, whenever that was, you also step into God's kingdom way and say no to the ungodliness of this world. And so it is time for us, it is past time for us to be God's people, to step into those places where there is ungodliness and unholiness, and to step into those places and be God's light, to be God's love, to live out our faith in practical ways. You see, as the church, we should be looking for opportunities all the time to step in and to cultivate peace and reconciliation and forgiveness and restoration where things are broken. And I'm talking about very practical things like systems and the things that make our cities work. Many of those things are unjust and unfair. And when we see those things, we need to step into those places and work for righteousness' sake, for justice' sake. It's time for us to join Jesus, you see, because love came for us in the form of a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. He came. He moved into our neighborhood. He put on flesh and walked among us. Do you know where I'm going next? Are you following me? It's time for us to move into some neighborhoods. It's time for us to put on flesh and make our presence known in a peaceful, loving, merciful, redemptive, restorative type of way. In this next year, church, we're going to together be challenged to walk together toward that vision of a restorative community in the name of Jesus Christ. It is time for us to eagerly reflect the way of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our family members, to one another. It is time for us to be light. And so while it was engaging, right, as we lit the candles and the lights came down and there was still light in the darkness, that's the vision for us to go into the world and be light. So the choice is yours. What is your song? Will it sound like and will it look like Mary's song that echoes throughout Scripture? Or will your song be more conformed to the ways of the world? Ultimately, the choice is yours. But I would urge us today to choose to live prophetically. Let us choose to be light. Let me pray for us. So, Father, we, with open hands, we ask, God, that you would impress upon our hearts and our spirits to not just say yes to you, but to say no with you to the things of this world that are unholy and ungodly. God, make us your people who stand against pride and prejudice and power plays. God, help us to be your people that are humble and peaceful and joyful, full of love and light. God, use us as your instruments wherever we go, that we may eagerly reflect your goodness and love to this world. May we be challenged today to be your people. Jesus, we say thank you to you for coming in the flesh, walking among us. And God, may you now use us to go into the world to be light. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.